Today is Democratic Women's Day. This is India Edwards, Vice Chairman of the Democratic National Committee and Director of its Women's Division. Greetings to the women of the country on this, the 31st anniversary of Democratic Women's Day. It was in 1919 that the Democratic Party admitted women to membership in the Executive Committee of the Democratic National Committee. This preceded by 1 year passage of the 19th Amendment. Since women have had the vote, two great Democratic presidents have given many women the opportunity to participate in government on the national level. These women, appointed to high office by Presidents Truman and Roosevelt, are a credit to all Americans. We salute them and our leaders who have made it possible for these women to use their special talents to benefit the nation. Democratic Women's Day is a special anniversary for Democratic women, and it is a special fundraising day to demonstrate our true partnership in the party through assuming our full share of responsibility for its financial support. Raising money for the Democratic Party is a duty and a responsibility in which all Democratic women should share with pride. Today we are going to hear from some of the women who have so distinguished themselves in high office that they are a credit not only to us women but to the entire nation. We can all be encouraged by their magnificent accomplishments, which cannot but help to advance women's recognition. Our first speaker needs no introduction, for her outstanding contributions to building a better world will be recorded for posterity. Eleanor Roosevelt, United States Delegate to the General Assembly of the United Nations and Chairman of the United Nations Commission on Human Rights. Mrs. Roosevelt.
I'm very happy indeed to have this opportunity of saying a few words of greeting to the Democratic women on Democratic Women's Day. I can remember when women did not have a day of their own in the Democratic Party or in any other party. They were not considered important enough. But now it is recognized in both parties that women are a very important part of the party machinery and of the electorate as a whole. I think that they have made significant changes in the political atmosphere. Many things that would perhaps never have achieved the attention of the gentlemen have achieved that attention because they knew they had to gain the women's vote. And today, it seems to me that women have a very important part to play at home and abroad. At home, primarily, I think we have to see in each and every one of our communities that we as women exert our greatest influence to have democracy lived by the people of our community. I've sat for a long while in the United Nations and heard the attacks made on what are obviously failures in democracy. The times when we do not give every one of our citizens an equal chance. The times when justice is not meted equally to all of our citizens. And those are played up all over the world, those failures, not as failures just of the people of the United States, but as failures of democracy. And we women who care enormously for the freedoms that go with our democracy, for the freedom and the justice and the equality that we believe our democracy stands for, must see to it that we live it in every one of our homes and our communities, and that as far as our sphere of influence goes, it is well known what we believe in, and that our convictions affections are deep and sincere. That in itself will be a very great help to us in our position as a nation in the world today. And each one of us knows that the position of leadership which has come to the United States is a difficult position to fulfill. We're going through hard days today, and we're learning that if you want to prevent the fighting of an aggressive war, you must be prepared. But that preparation is not sufficient if it's just military and economic. It has to be spiritual, and the spiritual leadership depends largely on the women. So good luck to you all on this particular day of the Democratic women. Support your party and support your nation.
Thank you, Mrs. Roosevelt. Your message was a timely and important one, not only to women, but to men as well. And now we will hear from the only woman who ever has served in a presidential cabinet, Frances Perkins, who was Secretary of Labor during the entire Roosevelt administration, and who then was appointed by President Truman to serve as a United States Civil Service Commissioner. Miss Perkins is one of the most distinguished women in government. Miss Frances Perkins.
American people generally value greatly and rejoice in the right to vote. But as all of you know, many of them, and particularly many women, just forget the preliminaries. They forget to register, and they forget to go to the polls early enough on election day to have their votes counted. And so I want to speak to you a moment about why women in America should pay particular attention at this time of trouble to their political rights, to their right of the franchise, and to try to make this right so exercised as to bring about a better condition of life and a more likely condition of peace in the whole world. Women, when women make up their minds to a project, they usually go through with it. And so I believe that whenever women, all women, become really convinced that government is a part of their primary business, that politics is their business, they will do something about it. This country and the whole world will benefit when that time comes. The modern woman's interest in people has been responsible for many important gains in the field of social welfare through public consciousness, through labor legislation, and through education in women's groups generally. Many of the world's social ills stem from unhealthy social conditions. Women need only expend their political interests and expand them to embrace the whole world in order to bring their touch and their interest to bear on the kind of world problems similar to those which they have helped solve in the past in their own communities. The best way to expand women's consciousness in the life of the world is through government, through politics. The more women who see this, and the number shows a steady gain, the faster we approach the goals we all seek: sound social and economic conditions at home, and peace and goodwill in the world. Women have been largely responsible in many American communities for setting higher standards of working conditions, for decreasing juvenile delinquency, for improving educational facilities, for the welfare of children, and for doing many other things that have made theirs a better community in which to live. Not every woman has the time to work through groups such as I have mentioned, but every woman has the time to register and to vote. And that is the first responsibility of every citizen who would take part in his government through the election and direction of his officials. I firmly believe that if every woman in this country would register and vote, we would soon come closer to our ideal for a better world. And so I say to you, be sure to register on registration day, and be sure to vote on election day.
Thank you, Miss Perkins. I am happy that you have stressed the importance of registering and voting as the first responsibility of every American. Our next speaker is another first woman in her post. But like all the women you will hear today, she was appointed because of her qualifications, not just because she is a woman. She was appointed first by President Roosevelt and then reappointed by President Truman, the director of the United States Mint, Nellie Taylor Ross.
Women in the last presidential election are shown by the record, I believe, to have supplied more than 50% of the votes that were cast, and Democratic women were in the lead. Women, then, are not, it is clear, open in particular to the charge of indifference to their political responsibilities. Far too many do, however, we know, fail to go to the polls or otherwise to display much interest in what is going on in the government. It is difficult to understand this neglect, for all know that governmental action vitally affects the life of every individual in the land, man, woman, and child. It is probable that many women feel that the problems with which our government has to wrestle, particularly those involving foreign nations, are so colossal and complex that they are helpless to do anything about them. It is certain, though, that we are not helpless to say at the polls whom we shall have in the White House and in the Congress to handle them for us. We can pass judgment upon the pronouncements of contending candidates, upon their integrity, their records, their good faith, and that of the political parties back of them based on their records, then go to the polls and vote our honest conclusions. There is no question that the hearts of American women are torn with distress and anxiety over the peril to the careers, to the very lives of their beloved men of fighting age, husbands, brothers, and sons, peril indeed to the whole population, which the march of communism in the world has created. It is the destiny of this country to take leadership in arresting that march. The President has acted with superb courage. The President and the Congress, grimly determined, are employing the might of this nation to stop it in its tracks. They are determined to thwart its avowed designs upon our own system of free government. Women citizens can uphold their hands by voicing sanction of measures taken in that direction which they believe to be courageous and sound. Women, be it remembered, are now possessed of all the political privileges and obligations that go with citizenship in this free land. They are now making themselves a recognized force in the shaping of the course of this government. Women, though, are not making themselves to count politically, as is possible, so long as they fail, any of them, American-born or naturalized women citizens, to go to the polls on election day to be counted in support of those candidates and those policies in which they believe.
And thank you, Mrs. Ross. I am happy that you, too, have stressed the importance of the women's vote and that you have reiterated President Truman's superb courage for his leadership in arresting the march of communism. At this halfway point in our Democratic Women's Day program, we're going to pause briefly before presenting the other speakers.